What's up, everyone? This is Sarah on the Afros in the Diaspora podcast, and today we have our guest, Kome Eto. He's a comedian by night and I guess an engineer by day, but he is an incredible person living and working in Calgary. Kome, welcome.
Thank you, Sarah. I love how you started with the by night part. I don't know, I mean, I'm a creature of the day, so as you start by night,
okay,
you are your own.
But that's how I actually got to know you first, is as a comedian in the city. And then, you know, in our conversations, you were like, oh, yeah, I'm an engineer. And I'm like, oh, wow.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah. I can tell you one of those pays the bills.
True. Okay, cool. Are you ready to jump right into the trivia?
I mean, your question, am I ready? No, but do I have to? Yeah, let's get into it.
And somebody that will hear you now would think I'd not tell you. I told, okay. See, listeners, I told Kome, please get ready and defend your country, Nigeria. Do them proud.
Look, just for the listeners, my country is also Canada. So like, you know.
Oh, God, go and sit down. Did they burn you here?
Okay, let's go. I'm ready.
Let's go. All right, cool. What year did Nigeria gain its independence?
Okay, yeah, this one. This hopefully is the only question we're talking about 1960. October 1st, man, I remember what I was doing that day. It was a good day, man. We got rid of the British.
You got rid of, we were there.
Yeah. Spiritually, we pushed them out.
Okay, cool.
Did I get that one?
You got it, of course. Yeah, like that, okay, was just a warm up. Yeah. That was a warm up question. I didn't want to throw you to the deep end too quickly. All right, I want you to say the states and capitals for all the states starting with A.
All the states starting with A. So we have Abia, Mwahia, Adamawa. We're gonna go with Oka.
Yola.
Yola, that's what I was, you know, like that's what I was about to say.
What's the next one? I asked you, you're asking me back.
Okay, let me for those of you who are thinking, oh, this guy is not bright, and you know, I never learned this.
Oh, did you?
So yeah, and we can get into in the story, but when I first left Nigeria, I was in primary one.
When I
came back, I was in primary five. So in those years, they must have done the states and capitals. But what I can tell you is I know my states, I know my capital.
That's not what I didn't ask you for your state and your capital. And what I asked you, you just did talk story with a touch souls.
Okay, give me another state with A, then I can tell you the capital.
So there are four. You said two.
Okay. Yeah.
Abia, Umuahia, Adamawa, Yola,
yeah.
Akwa Ibom.
Adamawa, Yola, Akwa Ibom, Calabar.
No.
You know, in this life, if you speak with confidence, sometimes you can get through. Akwa Ibom. That's obviously like Patakom.
Okay.
They changed it. You know, they changed it this year.
They changed what?
They changed the capital of that state too.
Okay, what was the previous capital, Mr. Kome?
Why are you living in the past? Why are you living in the past?
Akwa Ibom, Uyo.
Uyo, Okay, give me the fourth one. I got this one.
Anambra. You actually said it earlier. It was one of the wrong answers you said it
Oka.
Earlier.
Is that
it? Yeah, Anambra, Oka.
Okay. Yeah, we're in the game. I give myself 50%.
50 over what? 200.
The thing is, I know the song too. I know the rhythm of the song, but I have like forget about it.
Yeah, one of those people.
I'm one of those. I left too early.
You just go with the melody.
I go with the vibe. I hum it.
You just dance with it. You'll be one of those I'll drum into, right?
Yeah, I'm the beatboxer in the class.
in this fourth republic that we're in.
Yeah.
Name the presidents. All of them from the fourth republic of Nigeria.
Okay, let's work back because you know my guy right now is Trudeau, right? So like, you know, whatever, right? Let's work back. So let's start with the bats. We have the bats in office right now. Tinubu.
Did you say bats?
Yeah BAT, is that not his initials?
Oh, ha, ha, ha. Okay. I thought you were referring to him as a battle, but that's good. That's
Who am I? Yeah, so Tinubu, before Tinubu was that tall guy, Yar'Adua.
No.
No, Yar'Adua was what's the name of this guy? Umaru Usman.
No.
I forgot this guy that we just removed, though.
Are you talking about the UFC fighter?
No. That was Yar'Adua's first name, I'm sure.
No.
Yes.
Umaru Musa Yar'Adua Alhaji.
Yeah. Okay.
He's one of the presidents, but he was one of them. Yeah, he's one of them. So
somewhere in there we have Goodluck Jonathan.
Okay.
Somewhere in there we have Obasanjo.
Okay.
And last then one. Why am I forgetting this guy that we just removed?
Bubu.
Yes, Buhari. Say Buhari. Okay. How can I forget now?
Not sorry, for yourself. Buhari. You actually got it. You got all four. I tried. You should have got it, yeah. Good job.
I tried.
Okay.
So given that I was not living in that country for three of those presidents, so.
Okay. Are you trying to brag or you're trying to defend yourself?
I just tried to tell the listeners that, look, this is not my true form, but I'm doing what I can.
Okay. You're doing good. You're so far so good.
All right.
Okay, let's go over to the currency and the people on them.
Well done. Okay, let's go.
Me? What are you telling me? Well done.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this.
Who is on the 100 naira note?
100 naira. That has to be Herbert Macaulay.
No.
No, okay, no. Actually, it's his second cousin who is General Gowon.
No. No. Last final try.
My final guess is Chinua Achebe.
No, it's Wole Soyinka. It's not only Chinua Achebe.
I mean he should be. The thing is, he should be. That one. I'm already speaking.
Unfortunately, he's not the one. He's a Yoruba man.
Okay, who's on 100 naira?
With the glasses.
Is he Awolowo?
Obafemi.
It's been a while since I spent 100 naira.
Okay, so who's on the 100 Canadian dollar note?
Okay, yeah, it's also been a while since I spent.
See you. Goodness. Okay, who's on the 200 naira note?
200 is definitely Segun Arinze.
It's Ramsey Noah. This man.
There are actually two on. Segun Arinze is on the front. If it's on the back, it's Ramsey Noah.
Mr. Man, it's neither of the above. Before I back down here, it's none of the above. Okay, this man, you're not taking this thing seriously.
But how about for effort, though? E for effort.
No, this one, no E for... You're not even trying. You're not naming any of the politicians. This one is F9 for you. Sir Ahmadu Bello.
If you started with Sir, I would have finished it.
Okay, now, let's ask... Okay, so who is on the 500 naira note? This one does not have any... It doesn't have a title. Sir.
This one, there's no Sir.
Nothing, there's nothing there. Him. They don't respect him. they do. You know what? There's something. Doctor.
Okay, now. Dr. Tafa Balewa.
No, that's Alhaji.
Oh, this is an Igbo man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this has to be Nnamdi Azikiwe.
Yes. At last.
Oh, we're in the game.
At last. At long last. Sing the first stanza of your current national anthem.
Current, right? Okay. First sentence is, Nigeria, we hail thee. And
Wonderful. What's the national pledge?
Okay, this one's standard. Mm-hmm. I pledge to Nigeria, my country, to be faithful, loyal, and honest, to serve Nigeria with all my strength, to defend our unity and uphold our honor and glory. So help me, God.
Hey, Mr. Komen. Good job. That was good. That was good.
Nah, that one is burned. That one is, it will never leave.
That's good. Well done. Okay, we're going to round up this part of the icebreakers, and we're going to go right to the riddles. Are you ready? Because these riddles, they are very corny, and they are very, like, you think the answer is A, no but problem. It's really A
riddle, minus. Riddle me that.
All right, riddle let me that. I will riddle you that. Okay, you asked for it. Where can you finish a book without finishing a sentence?
Where can you finish a book without finishing a sentence?
Mm-hmm.
In an audiobook?
No.
You don't have, okay. Where can you finish a book without finishing a sentence? This one passed me over.
Do you want the answer? In a prison, you can finish a book but not finish your sentence.
I'm sure this part of the podcast is for your enjoyment.
Yes. It is totally. Okay, oh I'll God, ask
that's
you.
That's a good one, though. Swear that's I'm very... holding that one for the next person I meet.
This is the second to the last icebreaker question.
Okay. This one.
I am something. Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
The man who makes me does not want me. The man who buys me does not need me. And the man who needs mm-hmm. me does not know it yet. What am I?
Jesus. So that's the answer.
Hey. You can't buy Jesus now, this guy.
The man who makes me does not want me. No, wait, don't go on yet. Don't go on yet. It must be some sort of emotion. No, what is it? What's the answer?
A coffin.
Wow.
A coffin. The person that makes it doesn't want it. The person that buys it doesn't need it. But the person that needs it does not even know.
That's legit.
Because they're dead.
That's legit. So after a full day of work, you have come to make my brain to be turning on you. Okay. Wow, a coffin. That's good. That's good. Okay. Yeah. I like the prison one, though. I like that. That was nice.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
I've said this one before, so I'll consider this a bonus one, okay? This one I've said before. on this podcast. If there are 12 fish and half of them drown, mm-hmm. how many are left?
12 fish, mm-hmm. half of them drown.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, like fish don't drown.
Hey.
Fish don't drown, fam.
Yeah, come okay. on. All right.
Come All on. Right,
good job. Because
I was already thinking, if you remove... Yeah, no, yeah, that one, I'm here.
We're proud of you. Thank you for engaging with me in the icebreakers. Let's get into your story. So Kome, as has been established, you are Nigerian. Right. So would you mind just telling us your immigration story of how you moved to Canada, if you moved by yourself with your family, what your stay here has been like so far?
Yeah. So specifically about like how I moved to Canada, I moved here. Technically, I moved here by myself, although we actually moved to Canada. So I moved here at the same time as my brother and sister, but we came from different places. But we actually moved to Canada on... like a permanent residency already. So my folks had like years before applied for whatever skilled worker program, whatever the case is, and they applied for the whole family. So the whole family in like 2010, it came through. And at that time I was enjoying myself on the beaches in Florida. That's where I was at the time. I was going to the University of Florida. And the question came up, do you want to move to Canada? Me and you know how this Canada is. It's not the same as the beaches of Florida. But the bottom line was that I was paying international tuition there in Florida and Canada. I was coming as a permanent resident. And, you know, money talks, whether it's 500 Naira notes or $100 notes, money talks. So that was really what, like, made the decision to move to Canada. So I moved and transferred universities, transferred to UBC in Vancouver. And I've been in Canada since then. So as I was saying, at the same time, my brother and sister also moved. So my sister was in university in Oklahoma, same situation, international student there, transferred to UBC. And then my brother was just finishing A-levels at the time as well. So he was like, well, I'm going to university in Canada, I guess. I started university at UBC in Vancouver. So we all from different places moved and all landed in the same city and the same university. So that was good to like have them around, even though like they all came from different places.
Okay, that's really cool. So just to ask about, if you were born in Nigeria, what was the trajectory of how you moved to get to Florida?
Yeah, so this is the explanation for why I don't know about Sir and Dr. and Alhaji. So like I was saying, when I so I was born in Nigeria, I was born in Warri, where if you stand up, where no carry last. At the age of 6, my family moved to Oman. So we lived in the Middle East, in Oman for like 3.5-4 years, something like that. Which was like, that was an amazing experience. First time abroad, I moved from my dad's work. He worked in oil and gas. And the funny thing about moving is that wherever you are, like, you always find Nigerians. Like, so it didn't feel so heavy. Like I was in our country, different culture. There's people from other cultures, but the core, the people I saw all the time were still Nigerian people. We flock together. We don't play those games. So we're in Oman, and then after the 4 years in Oman, moved back to Nigeria. At that time, moved to Port Harcourt. So Port Harcourt was cool. You see, if you had asked me now the capital of a river state, now I would have told you Port Harcourt, but that's a matter for the past comment. Port Harcourt, and then did boarding school in Abuja. And then when I was in GS3, I got a very exciting letter or a call or whatever. No, the principal of the office said, yo, we want to see you. I said, this is, I'm a good student, you know, normal, even though, again, that trivia I did not show, but I'm a good student, you know. And so they called me to the office and they said, yeah, so your dad said that you and your family are moving to Holland. I said, what? I said, so I can get out of this prison that you put Akwali boarding school? but I had to keep it on the down low for like a month, which was, as you can imagine, very difficult for me not to be like, hey, you guys, I'm out of here. The funny thing about that movie is like, when I eventually told people, one senior on my table played me, he was like, yo man, you're moving to Holland, like you're going to enjoy a good life, so like this, all this rice and chicken that we're eating here, you don't need it. Yeah, and the thing was hiring me. So I said, yeah, you know what? I'm moving abroad. Like, man, drink my Fanta, chop my chicken. About an hour later, I was like, yo, but I still have to eat while I'm here. they finished me, man. So eventually did the move. Moved to Holland. So I spent basically high school years in Holland. I went to a British school there. But again, people from all different parts of the world. But, you know, Niger people, we still found each other. And actually, my friends that I made in that school or in that time there, three or four of them ended up being like my groomsmen at my wedding like a few years ago. So like that was Holland was a good time. Really enjoyed it there. And high school year is always fun. When you're not in a boarding school in Abuja. And then from Holland, after graduating, it was about university, and I had seen all the movies. Every movie about university, it was about college in America. So I was like, look, there's only one place I'm going. Even like I said, I went to a British school. Everyone was preparing, doing their A-levels and stuff, ready to go to Manchester. I'm like, look, I've seen the movies. I'm going to America. I'm ready to do a keg stand and frat okay. This thing. I was like, this is what I want to do. Chug, exactly. You chug, get chug, chug, chug. I didn't know that. I didn't know that wasn't really my future, but I wanted it. So I moved to Florida. And as mentioned, I spent a year, my freshman year in Florida, and then transferred to UBC, and I've been in Canada ever since. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because in all those years, all these moves, now, even though I don't know how Canadian I would say I feel, but Canada is the one place that I've lived in the longest in my life. So it's strange to say that because I still feel like a foreigner here, but yeah, it is what it is.
So, like, how did you get into comedy? In which of, because you moved from Nigeria, from Nigeria to the Middle East, to Europe, to, you know, North America. Like, so at what point were you like, oh, I'm kind of funny, let's try to do it? Like, at what point did it click for you like that?
Yeah, you know what, like, I've always thought I was funny.
Okay.
So that one clicked a long time ago. I would say, like, I remember when we were in Holland, I was in our English classes, you had to pick either English literature or English drama. I chose drama, and you had to come up with like a play for one of the grades. And me and my friend, we came up with a play, and it was like just a straight comedy. It was just stupidity, right? And even like, I did a couple other performances in Holland that were like just comedy performances on stage. And then I went to Florida, and same thing, I actually took one of the plays I did in Holland and brought it to like the African Student Union there in Florida, because they were doing their, you know, annual showcase or whatever. I was like, yo, this would be funny, this would be good, like, I've done it before. And so again, did some comedy on stage. But in terms of like stand-up, the first time I actually ever did stand-up was money motivation at the end of the day. They were doing, so the African Students Club at UBC, they were doing a talent show. And I've seen a few of the African Students events, and someone's going to come and sing, you know, somebody's going to come and dance, somebody's going to come and do maybe some poetry. And I said, there's no way someone's going to come and do comedy. So like, at the very least, I know I'll stand out. Even if I'm like not the most hilarious, I know like they'll be like, ah, this guy came to do something. So yeah. So I wrote some jokes, and I remember like I was nervous. You know, when you're doing stand up, it's not like you're working on it with someone. It was just me in my mind. So I was like, oh, let me try this out on someone. So I stopped my brother and a friend in the hallway, and I just ran through the jokes, but I didn't perform it. I just kind of ran through the jokes, and the dude was like, I wasn't very for like. He was like, I hope that's not what you're going to do. And I was like,
oh my gosh,
if I say what is on my mind for you. But anyway, I was new, I didn't have more jokes. I was like, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this on stage. So I went, I did the performance on stage. And it's up on YouTube, actually, if you look for it, the first time I ever did it. And the competition happened, and I ended up coming second, which was like, the girl that beat me, she did poetry, spoken word. I'm still beefing her to today. But yeah, came second. I won $25. I spent it all that night, but you know, it was it was good. It was good. That was the first time I ever did stand up, which was here in Canada in Vancouver, and then since then I've been doing it.
That's just super cool. So you started with a competition, and then was that a very, very, very first stand up performance ever that you did?
Yeah, it was the very first one. And when I look back at it now, like I still cringe at some of it, but like, it's what I had.
So, okay, that's really cool. So like, how do you go about, like, how do you combine? Cause we talked about your day job, about how you have your career, but you have this thing that you're really passionate about, which is comedy. Like, how do you combine the two in your life? Like, how do you go about pursuing comedy while also maintaining, you know, your career?
Yeah, no, it's funny that you say that, because like, I feel like in my life, like everything, and maybe just my perspective, I just try to find the funny in everything. So you know, 9 to 5, I'm an engineer. I work in, you know, the energy industry here in Calgary. And like, as people are talking in meetings, I'm just thinking about like, yo, what's the funniest thing I can say right now just to make this room laugh? And I'm like, I don't know if they're keeping me there just because like, oh, I bring some good jokes, or if like I'm still
legit your job well.
Engineer. But it can be challenging, right? Like if you're really trying to pursue comedy, like for real, having a job that's like, I would say my job is a little bit demanding. Like sometimes, you know, it carries on into the evenings. It's tough because if you're trying to do stand-up comedy in this culture as well, you're trying to hit stages on, you know, weeknights, and that can be pretty, pretty tough. So most of where I perform or like, you know, get out my jokes is from hosting events. So like emceeing, which is typically, you know, weekend stuff, evening stuff on like a Friday maybe. So like I have a set of jokes that I run through, always writing new stuff. But that's kind of how I try to balance it. It's like, you know, I do you know, stand up when I can. Usually when people invite me, because it's hard for me to kind of look up and be like, yeah, I should be going to these stages. But whenever someone says, hey man, I want you to come do 5 minutes here, I'm like, yeah, sure. I mean, I can make the time to do 5 minutes. So that I enjoy stand up a lot. And then emceeing and trying to wet my hand, wet my beak, what do they call it, dip my toe, shower, water
All of
and
them, all the
body
above.
into writing. So like writing for film or TV. That would be really really cool if I could do more of that.
Okay, and you started doing that.
That's right, that's right. Which is why I said this might turn into me interviewing you, because I know I have many questions for you, but maybe we'll leave that for a different day.
Okay, you can ask some
Because you are an
questions.
established filmmaker and writer and creator who, you know, the community looks up to and holds in high esteem. And so people like you are those that should lead the way for those of us who are trying to wet our beak.
Since we said
So that's
established, I claim it in
yes, now.
the
Claim will, claim
name
will.
of Jesus.
No, but for real, I mean, not to continue to watch you on your own podcast or make you feel embarrassed, but it is good to see people like you like doing that, right? Like, and doing it for real, because you know, if I ever thought that that was something that I could do for real, not until the last couple of years, when I've seen people like you and those that, you know, have opened doors for me in different ways to do that. So big shout out to I have to say Auntie Catherine, because I've known her since I was a kid. But Auntie Catherine, who you know, on her upcoming project, sequel to a movie she did already that was a hit on Netflix, 2 weeks in Lagos. She's doing a Calgary-based movie. She asked me if I could you know, work on the movie, punch up, make jokes. And then she was like, you know what, like I'll bring you on for real, and like you can really take a crack at the script here. So to me, that's like something that I had spoken into the universe, and like somehow somebody thought of me and said, hey, you know, I want this guy to help me on my project. So I'm looking forward to seeing what more of that.
Yeah, shout out. By the way, I read the script, y'all, because I'm also on the project and it was incredible. So I and like obviously
Okay.
you know with writing is rewriting. You write and you write and you write until actors actually say the words. Like you'll keep
Yeah.
writing until you say action. Like that's literally how
Yeah.
it goes.
Yeah.
So I just look forward to how the script will evolve, even further, as scripts tend to do. I appreciate your kind words about me and my work. I receive it. We spoke earlier and we had a little bit of a conversation about the sense of like imposter syndrome, in which like because as a person you are very reserved, while in performance it requires you to be very extroverted and very animated sometimes, and like to be the life of the stage and to have the presence and all those things. And you talked about how when you leave the stage you're back in your introverted sh like into your shell, and you're back to like, and so in a sense what people see is not really what they get. Would you mind talking a little
For
bit more
sure.
about that?
Yeah, no, you're very right about that. Like for me, I think I might have said this to you, but I say this to people a lot. Like for me, like if I'm doing stand up, let's say pure stand up, the most ideal situation for me is for me to walk off that stage, and as I'm walking up, people are patting my back, giving me thumbs up, and I'm walking straight into my car and going home. Like for me, I'm like, I've done my thing. The even like I'm a bad like comedian. Like you know, the banter before, the banter after. I'm like, man, I want to do my jokes, see if it's funny. If it's not funny, I'll work on it and I'll be back. But like you said, like I'm a typically introverted person. I'm a lot more introverted than people would think. You know, my wife says I scammed her, because she was like, yeah, you know, I knew you as coming, the funny guy, the comedian, the MC, but like you're not giving me that right now. Like yo, it's very quiet.
This is
And I'm like, yeah.
crazy.
So yeah, so people expect me to be, and So I even try to, like you said, imposter syndrome, right? Like just small things. Like I always feel, sometimes I feel like, okay, if nobody else is talking here, even though it's not my comfort zone, I feel the pressure. So I'll be like, okay, let me be the energy and light and the funny guy. Or even like when people, if who they know me as, or they've heard, oh, this guy's a comedian or an MC. Once someone says that, I'm like, okay, now I have to
perform,
be that person, even off stage, even without mic. Right. Now I have to be doing dancing for them. but in a way, like I enjoy it as well, right? It all depends on the environment for me. Like bringing joy in whatever way I can, especially laughter, is like, it's gold. Like being on stage doing an event and like that first big laugh you get, that's like, I'm not a drug addict, but I can imagine that's what it's like to be, you know, doing some of that hard stuff, because it's like you can't replace that with anything. It's pretty cool. So I try as much as I can live up to that when people see me. And once I get home, I'm like, look, man, let me off my bra and relax, because that was a lot.
Right. Thanks for sharing that, because I often wonder, and I've not really, I guess you're right, like when people hear, oh, you're a comedian, make us laugh, you know, there's the,
yeah,
there's that expectation that every single thing you do is going to have me rolling on the floor laughing, you know. And sometimes, yeah, especially when, depending on the time and the place, it's like, bro, mm-hmm, like, can you leave me alone? Like, I can imagine, yeah, I can imagine that being it, because especially when you have to prepare and get in the mind space to face an audience, because like some people literally take drugs to face audience members. Like, it's not easy,
yeah,
and it can be very unpredictable. So like, I can imagine like being the expectation of the banter and the like, oh, hey, you know, shooting the shit or whatever it's, yeah, called before going on stage. Yeah. Like, bruh, just let me, I don't want to forget my jokes right now, please.
Exactly. You know? And people will often ask, like, oh, they'll say, oh man, you're such a natural speaker. Say, if you don't know the nature, the nature that's taking place, the way I'm hot and sweating, like, mm-hmm, it's definitely a discipline. It's definitely a practice. Like, before I hit the stage, like, I want to say 95% of the time, unless it's a group of people that I'm just so comfortable with somehow, I'm always like super nervous and wondering. Somehow I always think of like, how bad could this go? The other day I was doing an event, I was emceeing, and like, it was someone's wedding. And I mean, I'm sure you can probably tell from my background, right? Like, I'm not the most Nigerian. So like, there are certain rooms that they're like, yeah, this guy is not, it's not, this guy's not our picture of a comedian or entertainer. But I'm also not the most, you know, Canadian. But, you know, so sometimes I walk into a room, like a wedding, and I look around, I'm like, you know, there's lots of aunties and uncles here. This is not my dream demographic. But initially I was just making a comment. I made a comment to the DJ or someone. I was like, yeah, there's a lot of uncles and aunties here. And he was like, yeah, are you nervous? I was like, oh, wait, should I be? And then I started to go like, oh, this could go left, the joke I do, they won't laugh. Yeah, I know aunties and uncles, when they're not Chinese, like, only point, this is them.
With their stanky eyes.
Exactly.
Judging you before you even start.
Exactly. But it went well, but every time I'm nervous, every time I forget that, like, I've actually made people laugh before. This is not my first time trying to win $25 on a talent show. Like, this is, I'm okay. So it helps to remind yourself of that, and like, you know, when people also encourage you, it's good as well.
Yeah, and you just touched on something, because I think that's something that's very real for people that moved away from their home country at a very, very young age, and people that have lived in so many different places, where you're like, well, I don't feel, you know, African enough, or, you know, from Caribbean or whatever it is. Like, I don't feel like I'm that deeply entrenched in my roots, but I'm also kind of sort of new in this place. I'm also, mm-hmm, not very Canadian or very American or whatever the case may be. So how would you say that you navigate your self, sense of self, your identity, in the different spaces that you have occupied so far, including Canada, and even in your workplace, like, and in your comedy, in your career, how would you say that, you hold on to your sense of self? How would you say that you hold on to and celebrate you know, your history and your cultural identity.
Yeah. No, it's tough, if I'm being honest with you, because on top of being an introvert, I probably lean more people pleasing as well. I'm very hesitant to even just correct people or something. For example, my now wife, like when we were just dating, even at the time, and I'd known her for years, she had been saying my name wrong. Right? She had been saying my name wrong the whole time. And we started dating. And I never said, hey, by the way, just so you know, since we're actually like this is something's going on here, this is actually how you pronounce my name. I left it. And then my sister called her and was like, yo, do you not know how to say this guy's name? And so she came back to me. She's like, yo, I've been saying your name wrong the whole time. And you didn't tell me. I was like, yeah, mine knows. It's too late. You know, it is what it is.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm the kind of person, like, I just try to like blend. My nature is to try to blend. When I tell you the number of jokes I've laughed at that I have no idea what this person said, both at work, both with Niger people all over the place. I'm just like, crazy.
I relate, but I think I just mostly just smile, like, especially when I moved here with the North American style of comedy, the self-deprecating comedy, the like sarcasm that I don't really get. Like, I just be like, that's literally it.
Nah, I take it to the next level and I go, you're crazy, crazy. And then I hope that they don't like, you know, follow up with like, you know, some more questions, because then I'm in trouble and all layers. Of a sudden my imaginary phone is ringing. Even like I went to one of you know, the popular sugarcane events here in Calgary, and I ran into someone and they were like, oh my gosh, Kobe, and my natural response is, oh my gosh, I had no idea who this person was. But it's just, to me, I'm like, it's the hassle and the confrontation of being like, yo, I don't know who you are. And she was like, how are you? I'm like, good. She's like, do you remember me? I'm like, yeah, of course. And then she was like, and then she did the thing I dread the most. She's like, where do you know me from? I said, I said, you know what? Remind me again. And then she was like, you emceed my husband's birthday. I was like, right, that's true. And that one hit me because I was like, yo, I legitimately spent like many hours standing next to you and doing it. And I pretended I knew you, but I have not changed my ways. I keep moving like that. So that's the long version of the answer for it. It's tough. It's tough for me to be like, you know, to show my full self, whether it's at work, whether it's after work, because I'm always in my head about like, oh, what would people feel about me if I say this thing or if I behave this way? But I've been trying to, you know, do more of that, like really lean more into like who I actually am. So when people are talking about, hey man, we're going to the hockey game, you want to come along? I said, I don't like hockey. Or I say like, I'm good. I would rather go home, but it's hard. My wife will tell you, like, I'm usually one of those people that is like the last to leave a function, not because I want to be there, but because I'm like, yo, if I leave now, like maybe this circle was standing in with scatter, or like two people have left and I'm like, okay, now it's me and two other people. If I leave, and then I end up being like, it's me and the cleaner sweeping at the end of the night going.
Are you for so real? Like,
yeah. So it's a struggle, but I think if anything, like, that's where I appreciate being able to do stand up, for example, because I can say whatever I want and no one is responding to me. It's my monologue. And I can be myself, and they either laugh or they don't laugh, and I get off, and it is what it is.
You're like, whether you laugh or you don't laugh, they are paying me at the end of this.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. Yeah, you know, it's an interesting balance, but I try. Even though I failed most of those questions, I still consider myself Nigerian over everything. Like, there's so many people, because, you know, I do a decent Canadian accent, so when I'm talking to people, they assume that I was born here, and they always ask me, was I born here? I'm like, bro, I don't know left from right in this city, but, you know, I'm glad I blended in enough for you. And on the Niger side too, people, you know, I blend in as much as I can until they find out that, hey, I don't know what they're talking about when they're making certain cultural references. And that's when I'm like, yeah, you know what, hello.
Totally, I hear that. I see, It does not matter, bro. Like, you're Nigerian, you're Nigerian. You're Canadian, you're Canadian. Yeah. It is what it is. You can be more than one thing at a time. And, like, yeah, anybody that has a problem with you living at a younger age or not knowing certain things, they should come and fight their grandfather. Like, like, you know, because that's how I see it, right? You were 6 when you left. Like, and when you returned, you stayed for maybe, I don't know, I can't do the math now, maybe 5-6 years before you had to leave again. Like, I mean, whose fault is it? They are just jealous that they could not leave at a young age. That's what it is.
Tell them.
But no, truly, like, I find it really weird when people are like, you know, you're like, when people try to challenge your Nigerianness or your, like, your country of origin because of one reason or the other, it's just really weird to me. I don't get it. I don't get what kind of joy people derive from that. I appreciate your honesty in saying and just expressing that it can be really tough, because it really can be. I know when I first moved here, the sense of humor, like, it flinged me off. I did not know what was going on. Somebody would say a random dry ass thing, in my own opinion. And now I get the references a little better, and I can, like, hee-hee a little bit. But I got to a point where I would just be laughing. And one day I looked myself in the mirror and said, Sarah, why are you laughing? What did they even say? You know, the person was speaking so fast, you did not even hear the actual words that they said, not to talk up to understand it. Why are you laughing? Yeah. You know? From that day on, I just decided, you know, you can just have a polite smile and you don't have to laugh. Like, it is what it is. Yeah. Like, or you can ask what is funny.
Exactly. You can say, hey, I don't get it. Although,
if there's one, obviously you don't want to be rude, right? But if there's someone you know that's on your close, I'm like, wait, what was the joke?
Yeah.
Just in camera.
There's so many times where, like, I'll be laughing at something, and, like, let's say someone didn't hear it, and they're like, oh, what did they say? I'm like, bro, I don't even, like, you're wasting your time asking me. I'm laughing out of politeness.
truly. And just to fit in, because, like, nobody wants to feel like they're the other, and nobody wants to feel like they're a stranger there, they're not welcome there, they're not part, they don't belong. And so, like, it's a self-protecting, like, it's a natural instinct to want to, like, do whatever it is you can to blend in. How about in other things, like in the food? Do you still eat Nigerian food? Do you still listen to Afro beats? Do you still do you understand your language?
That's why I call myself Nigerian over everything, because food, music, culture, people, humor, all that stuff, I lean very, very Nigerian. Like, when people ask me, so what do you listen to at work? I go, how do I get into Afro beats for them? It's like, okay, so it all started with so definitely, like, Afrobeats is my jam. Even more these days, because I used to be, you know, especially when you're growing up outside of Nigeria, anywhere black is good enough. So it's the hip hop, it's the R&B, which is all good and fun. Like, I love it too. Mm-hmm. But now more and more, I'm like, I'm not even with what y'all are rapping about. Like, I'm missing every third word. So, like, Afrobeats is definitely my mainstay.
Every third word.
In terms of food, I'm definitely like, jollof is king. Oh, Naija jollof is king. Let's be clear. In case any Ghanaians are listening and they want to come and say something like, you know, boiled egging jollof, I don't know for those people. But yeah, so Nigerian food, Nigerian music. 95% of people I spend my free time with are Nigerians or African or black. So, like, that side, we can't question that one.
That's really cool. Kome, thank you so much for spending the time with us today and sharing your story with us and laughing with us and telling us some jokes and the trivia. Even though, you know, you did reroute to the answer sometimes, but we got there.
You know what? It's the spirit that matters. That's all I have to say. And the I think I brought the right spirit. The spirit of the answer. Yeah, the spirit of the answer. Yeah. So you know, sometimes people talk about, oh, the letter of the law or the spirit of the law. I am the spirit. People can focus on the letter. I'm the spirit.
I've actually not heard that argument before.
Oh, really? Like, let's say someone commits a crime. Someone commits a crime and, like, this is what it says to the T. But you're like, okay, is that really what this is about, though? So me, I'm like, are we really about testing an innocent young man about his Nigerian knowledge, or are we about, you know, building community and brightening up someone's day? And that's the spirit, and that's what I'm here to deliver.
This man, we are doing both. It's both to the two, both of them is the it's answer. Both there. Yes, that's what we're trying to do. We're quizzing you, and we're trying to have a good time. Amazing. So, Colin,
this was great. Thanks for the chat as well. I'll interview you later, so we'll talk about that one a different day. But I really appreciate it. And keep up all the good work as well. I think it's really cool that you're doing this and getting these stories from very ordinary and average people like myself.
I look at the way you're calling yourself ordinary and average. A whole engineer like you.
I mean,
a whole celebrity like you. Okay, no wahala. Thank you, though. I appreciate you. Would you mind leaving us with a word of advice, a word of, you know, wisdom for us to take with us?
Okay. Jot this down.
Okay, yes.
I would say, and for me, this is a personal one, personal mantra. I would say do everything you can to see the positive in things, in people, in situations, and whatever, because I believe that perspective is key. Like, you can be in a very rough situation, and if you focus on the positive, the clouds move apart and you see some sun. So, and yeah. Also hire me as your MC and comedian at events. That's also some word of advice for the people listening.
Yes, if you're in Calgary, that was actually going to be my next question. Like, do you have a Instagram, social media, websites? How can people book you? How can people reach out to you? Introduce yourself. Do as if you are introducing yourself now. Hi, I'm Kome. I make up. You know.
Okay.
Action.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If you like a good time, if you like a laughter, if you like a smile, my name is Kome Eto, and I'm here to deliver that to you. You can find me on Instagram at Kumbstone, KOOMBSTONE. It has nothing to do with tombstone. I won't die very soon, in Jesus' name. So yeah, hit me up on IG. That's probably the best place to reach me. I got Instagram when someone told me that I was a very unserious entertainer, because I was like, yo, message me on Facebook, or like, here's my number. And they're like, you better get your ass on Instagram, otherwise you're not going to get any booking. So yeah, so find me on Instagram. I'm not on the Bird app. I'm not on the other things, but I'm on Instagram.
Okay. So do you have an email address you'd like to plug in, a website?
Oh yeah.
Like that, or...
Oh yeah. I'll give my email. I like this promotion you do for me.
Yeah. You have to. Yes.
You can also email me kometo3@gmail.com. The three is because Kometo was taking Kometo one, so I just went with three, you know, because
so you went down I went one, two, three.
But yeah, kometo3@gmail.com. Yeah, and that's, and you can also find me at my home current address. Maybe that's not safe. I'll leave that one. I know your viewers are upstanding people, but the trust level, I'm not quite there yet. So
that's okay. Let's that's stick okay. To IG and email. But are you willing to travel, or are you just like local to Alberta, to Calgary, or do you travel?
For... No, I travel. I've emceed events throughout Canada, really, all through the country. So. And I'll travel anywhere else too. Just make sure that you put me in a first class hostel. I'm good with that, you know.
Okay. Willing to travel.
Yeah, I said first class, but then I downgraded to hostel, so that is still affordable.
Not hostel. Three stars not and hotel, up hostel. Hotel. Not a motel, not okay. A hostel, a hotel.
Yeah. We don't have the time to talk about the time that I wanted to save somebody money and I booked myself into like a rundown hotel in Windsor, and to this day I've not forgotten. I think I slept standing up because I didn't want to enter that bed. So please, I beg, not that kind of place.
Yikes. All right, yeah. Y'all have heard it. Kome, the comedian, the MC, the comedic MC, you know, the writer. Okay.
Look at you.
You know? So he's willing to travel, even though he's based in Calgary. You can follow him on Instagram, his email, and all that stuff. And we have come to the end of our episode. Once again, Kome, thank you so much for spending your time with us today and sharing your story and having this conversation. I appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Sarah.
Yeah. And to our listeners, thank you for sticking with us. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye-bye. We are coming. Say bye-bye.
Bye. Peace. Peace and love.
Peace and love. Bye.